son Brian has asked me. I've been, I don't know if it's good or bad, but I don't really think about it too much. I just say yes. I believe the Lord's put the calling on my life, so any opportunity I have, I, right or wrong, I take it. So, this morning, the title that the Lord put on my heart is, Are You Following Jesus? And something that we could all ask ourselves day in and day out, are we following Jesus? A couple of promises of God's Word. It's Psalm 116, 5 through 6, says, The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was bought low, He saved me. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, Cast all your cares upon the Lord, for He careth for you. John 14, 16 says, And I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Psalm 10, 17 says, You, Lord, hear the desire of the afflicted. You encourage them, and You listen to their cry. Psalm 9, 10 says, Those who know Your name trust in You, for You, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek You. 1 Thessalonians 5, 24 says, The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. James 1, 2 through 3 says, Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing or trying of your faith develops perseverance or patience, worketh patience. These are promises of God's Word that, and I heard some of y'all say amen. Amen means so be it, let it be so. Right? We probably need to be careful what we amen to. But these are promises of God's Word, and there's many more that we could talk about. John 3:16, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a good promise we hold to. 17 says, For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. These are all, and we talked in Sunday school this morning, about what our favorite verses are. You know, there's always those answers. Well, I can't just pick one, right? Because we're all there. There's a lot of favorite scriptures. Galatians 2:21 says, For I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain, or Christ died for nothing, there would have been no need for Christ to die. And that's probably my favorite scripture, if you will, because that's good news. That's the good news of the gospel. That's a promise that I want to hold true to my life, that I want to stand on. Merriam-Webster defines stand to support oneself on the feet, to take up or maintain a specific position or posture, to maintain one's position, to be in a particular state or situation. To stand is to be, in Kendall's definition, on your feet, right? To have your feet planted. We live in a time that is changing. That's changing every day. Change happens. People change. Jobs change. Relationships change. Missouri, Arkansas, for my sake, the weather changes every day. You wake up, you don't like the weather, just wait a couple of days. There's a lot of change, and for me, I hate change. Very much. I mean, almost to the point I can't operate if there's a change. I go in like shutdown mode. I have a routine every day of things that I do, and I don't venture out too far from that. And if I do, I'm kind of messed up. How many of you like for your plans to change? Some plans, maybe. But we as the human race, we as people, we encounter change daily. 2020 was a year of change. 2020 was a year that was different. There's a lot of things different about it. I think I experienced probably more change in the year 2020 than I did. I'm young, but the whole life. It was just a changing year. But we know one thing does not change, and that's God, right? And that's the truth of God's word. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, and I change not." What does that mean? It means the Lord doesn't change. Pretty simple, right? Hebrews 13:8 says, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." The Lord doesn't change, and neither does God's promises. This is the one thing in life that you could probably hold on to, that the Lord doesn't change, and His promises does not change. We sing songs about standing on God's promises. So when we are singing about standing on God's promises, what we're essentially singing about is having our feet planted on God's promises. Being in a position that we're planted on God's promises. Is that true for our life today? Are you planted on God's promises? Are you standing on God's promises? We read about a lot of scripture. Google is fun because I looked all those promises up. All right, you can type in God's promises, and that's why some of you probably was like, that's not King James Version. But there's a lot of promises that we like to claim. There's a lot of promises that we like to stand on, but during those difficult times when we need God's promises the most, it seems like it's the hardest to stand, at least in my life. So is that true that we're standing on the Lord's promises? I believe we live in a time that the world, and can I dare say even the church world, is so far from standing on God's promises. We live in a time that God and His promises are actually the last resort. We live in a time that the church, I'm not saying this church in particular, but the church is so far from standing on God's promises. Exodus 15:26 says, "I am the Lord that healeth thee." That's a good verse. How many of you believe that? Anyone know the first part of that verse? Darla, I knew she would. The first part talks about hearkening unto the Lord and keeping His commandments and statutes. And I'm not talking about this church in particular, but there's a lot of Christians that like to claim the last part of that verse but forget about the first part of the verse. When you hearken unto the Lord, when you obey His commandments, I am the Lord that will healeth thee. I think back and it's almost frustrating to think back, because I think back on Jesus' day, I think how Jesus walked about and He would heal others. And I think how, you know, you read about Jesus and He healed, you know, raise Lazarus from the dead, right? That's a big deal. It wasn't a big deal to Jesus, and he did that. Then we read of Jesus healing the blind. As I was preparing for this message, I'm like, right? Because Jesus healed the blind, and I'm not blind. My wife thinks I am, but I'm not. But Jesus healed the blind. And here I am with glasses on, just because I can't see the letters on the wall. I think about how Jesus, he went about doing good, and then the story of being raised down, the man in the bed being raised down, and Jesus healing him. And then there's stories of women saying, and men saying, "Jesus, you don't got to go, just speak, and they'll be healed." And I read that and I'm kind of like frustrated because I don't see that in my life. And I don't see that in the church's life. And I'm not, again, not in particular talking about this church, but in the church age and the church where we're at right now, I don't see that. And so I questioned, I said, well, what's different? What's changed? We know the only absolute is Jesus Christ and God. That hasn't changed. Well, then if you want to argue with me and say that, well, Jesus was Jesus, that's why he did it. Scripture says that Jesus was tempted in every way that we were, yet without sin. So what made Jesus different than us? If we're honest, it was just because of his relationship with God. He was the Son of Man, or Son of God. Yeah, he was. But when he came to earth, he lived it so that we could. And Jesus' relationship with the Father is what put him in position to heal, what put him in position to speak. So we know the Lord hasn't changed. So the question is, could it be that we don't see the healings that Jesus did? Could it be that we don't see the miracles, if you will, that Jesus did? It's because our feet are not planted on God's promises. Could it be that our feet are actually planted somewhere else instead of God's promises? Why is it important that we know where our feet are planted? Why is it important where our feet are planted? Because where your feet are planted is where you're going to go. Well, unless you walk backwards. In the direction your feet are planted is where you're going to follow. You find that out in times of trial, and you find that out in times of hurting. You find out where your feet are planted. If you have your Bibles, turn to John 21 with me, please. Where you stand, you will move in that direction, and you will follow. John 21, verse 15, is where we'll begin reading. It says, so when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Verse 16 of chapter 21 says, he saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he said unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, and thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verse 18, verily, verily, I say unto you, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So I find it interesting in how the Lord works, because Jesus had asked Peter three times if he loved him, and Peter denied Jesus three times as well. And then Peter would have been like Kendall, and at the end of it, he'd be like, come on, yeah, you know I do. And so at the end in verse 19, Jesus just says, follow me then. Follow me, Peter. Verse 20 says, then Peter turning about seeth the disciple whom Jesus loveth following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter seeing him saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? 22 says, Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. So Peter just had this conversation with Jesus, and Jesus just says, follow me. And then Peter said, what about that guy? What's going to happen to him? Well, who's the guy who's going to betray you? And Jesus is simple. What's it to you? Follow me. More or less, Peter, don't follow him. Follow me. Peter, your eyes are not on him. Follow me. And then I got to thinking about Jesus and his first encounter with Peter. Scripture that you see. And Peter is out there fishing. And Jesus comes up and says, follow me. Scripture says, and straightway they left their nets and followed him. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And so now Jesus is saying, hey, Peter, follow me. And Peter hasn't forgotten the first time they met. He knows from day one he was supposed to be following Jesus, right? From day one, he said he would follow Jesus. What is that to you? Follow thou me. Merriam-Webster defines, and hear me out, all right? I don't care much about definitions, but for some reason when I preach, I like to look up definitions. So, follow means to engage in as a calling or a way of life. Why is it important who you're following? Because who you follow will become the way of life. What you follow will become the way of life. I can almost see Jesus just saying, hey, Peter, remember, follow me. And at that time, Peter actually dropped what he was doing to follow Jesus. And let's just be honest this morning. Where would you be at in that situation? Peter stopped his livelihood. He stopped his career, if you will, to follow Jesus. Sometimes we have a hard time just stopping what we're doing to come to church. We have a hard time stopping what we're doing just to read our Bible. Follow thou me. John 14:6 says, I'm going to turn there just so I don't. John 14:6 says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's a lot of following going on in the world today. If I'm honest, at times I've been caught up in turning on the news and watching the news and seeing the things going on. I think that if we're not careful, our focus will get off. If we're not careful, our focus will get off of the Lord and His promises. Saying is that who you spend time with, you'll become more like them. The more we spend away from the Lord, the less we are like the Lord. And the more we spend with the Lord, the more we are like the Lord. And I've spent a lot of time talking about things that, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, but I've lost sight of the good news. I've lost sight of what the Lord actually said. And who Jesus is. I think sometimes we actually belittle who Jesus is and what he did on the cross and what he done for us. He's not just a ticket to heaven. And sometimes we treat the Lord like that. And it's like, man, yeah, I'm saved. Now I just got to be miserable my whole life till I go to heaven. And when we have a headache, the first thing we do, we run to take ibuprofen instead of praying about it. Tish and I, a while back, were talking about that, and I actually prayed for my headache to go away. And I'm a baby, so I don't get many headaches, but when I do, it's like the end of the world. And Tish is like, I get them every day, you baby. But I actually prayed, and I prayed that the Lord would take away my headache. And when my headache was gone, I was surprised. Yeah? When my headache was gone, I was like, what? Oh, that was a shock. What? The Lord died even for our headaches. I think in the world that we're living in right now, just my opinion, my heart, you don't hear about Jesus that much. Jesus isn't the solution no more. What you see is that Jesus is the last resort, right? And you see that. That's why people come to church whenever they're in a hard time. And I'm not saying anyone here, but I've seen it over the time of going to church, that people will start going to church when they're going through a hard time. And then when they get through the hard time, whether it was money issues or healing or whatever it was, and then next thing you know, years down the road, they stop going to church. And then maybe something else comes up and they start going to church again. That what we see is that Jesus is just the last resort, and the Bible is just like this fairy tale that, we can use that now. Like, it's like plan Z. You know, you've tried everything else, and it's like, well, have we prayed about it? The other day, we were walking in the Walmart, and Fletcher lost his shoes. So we looked down, and they're gone. So I think I lost like 5 pounds that day walking in Walmart trying to find those shoes. Tisha was not going to stop until we found them. And if I'm honest, I went up to the front and said, hey, I haven't found, I mean, they're, anyways, we went up to the front and said, hey, we lost shoes. Have you seen them? No, we haven't. If we do, we'll let you know, or you can come back. And I'm like, ready to go home. I hate shopping anyways. And anyways, I was like, in my spirit, I felt like we needed to pray about it. And I was like, no, if we pray about it, we're going to have to stay here longer. I was like, no, we don't want to pray, because if you pray and leave, then you didn't have faith that you could find it, right? I was praying in my head, you know, because if I prayed out loud, then we would have to stay, and hoping the Lord just hears my prayer. And we finally stopped, and she was praying too in her head. So we stopped and we prayed and we said, Lord, help us find the shoes. And we walked. Now we have to walk, right? Because we prayed. So we walked around, and then all of a sudden this employee comes up and says, hey, did you lose these shoes? And then Tisha just started crying. And so I was like, you know, even in the small areas like that, the Lord cares about. And why did I wait for an hour and a half till I prayed? Get them in a home, already kicked back. And it was a shame, because why did I not want to pray out loud? But man, the Lord is so good, and He cares about us so deeply. He knows what's going on in our lives, and all He's asking is just follow me. Follow me, and everything's going to be all right. And the life that we live in now, it's harder to follow Jesus. In the life that we live in, it's actually not the popular vote, if you will. It's not something that everyone's like, oh, you're cool, me too. You're following Jesus, awesome. It's like, oh, you're one of those. I talked to a guy at work and talked about, I guess they asked me what denomination I was. And I always hate that question. And I said, well, I was ordained apostolic. I go to the apostolic church. What does that mean? Is it kind of like some other denomination? I was like, no, thanks. No. And I said, look, I'm a Christian. I believe faith of the apostles is what that means. And one of them said, oh, well, I'm this because I can do this. I'm like, man, that's missing it. We followed what the sign says instead of following the Bible. And sometimes we follow what the sign says because we like to do what we want. Right? I mean, I don't follow anyone. Most of my friends have the same ideas as I do, if you will. They have the same hobbies and things like that, so it's, of course, easy to follow. Brian, I think, is the only friend I have that isn't a Razorback fan. So I can't keep them. But it's easy. There was another guy at a business I work with, and he was a Razorback fan, and we had some of the same views and things like that. So next thing you know, I mean, I think we text like every day. And it's like a business partner, if you will, that a separate business. And it's funny how that works, but it's easy because you adapt and you follow the people who's kind of like you because we're comfortable. Nothing about following Jesus is based upon comfortable. And sure, I believe the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will, if you allow him to, you will have comfort. That's why Daniel in the lion's den and Jesus on the cross, and that's why they were able to handle those situations because of their relationship with the Lord. It's important who we're following. Some things that we're following, we don't want to end up. We don't want to end up there. I'm talking to youth all the time, and you go to the beach, and you say you're not going to get wet. Why would you go to the beach then? Eventually, you're going to get wet. It's the same way with who we follow. Eventually, you're going to be there. Whether that's what TV shows we watch, who we listen to, what friends we have. Anymore, I think that a lot of people follow the government more than Jesus. We base the way we live our life upon now, on what they say we should do, and upon everything like that. There's a lot of people, if someone was to come and say, hey, you shouldn't go to church no more, there's a lot of people would be like, okay. Or, hey, you shouldn't serve the Lord anymore. Okay. And it's heartbreaking to me in my own life, because in my own life, I've seen areas that it's easy to, man, I shouldn't be doing that. I shouldn't be following in that way. I should, no, separate. And it's just going to get really harder. The closer we get to Jesus coming back, it's just going to get harder. Who are you following? Now, finally, so it's important where we stand. It's important where our feet are planted. It's important who or what we're following. It's also important what voice we are listening to. There's voices all around us, do this, do that. You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do that. This is right. This is wrong. Every voice is different. There's always another voice that could say something different. Turn to John 10, if you could. John 10, and we'll begin in verse 1. I know it's a scripture that we've all have read and heard. John 10, 1, Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but they will flee from him, for they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood it not, what the things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man entereth in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. Verse 10, that Jesus has came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Again, I don't believe that's for just heaven. That's right now, that we could have an abundant life. And so how can we have that abundant life? How can we live in that abundant feeling or life or that state, if you will? By knowing the Lord's voice and hearing his voice. There's a lot of chatter going on around us. But it's important we hear the voice of the Lord. It's important we know the Lord's voice. How do we know the Lord's voice? By following the Lord. I can be on the phone with Letitia, and she'll have me on speaker, and Fletcher will be there. And when I start talking, he just glows because he knows his dad's voice. There's not everyone that he knows their voice, but if we were in a room and was to say his name and talk to him, he would come find us, and definitely some of you guys as well. But he knows our voice. And why is that? Well, because we spend time with him. Because he trusts us, because he has that relationship with us, and he knows us. In the same way, the Lord, and the more time we spend with the Lord, the more we know his voice. The more time that we are in this relationship with the Lord, day in and day out, we will know the Lord's voice. Well, yeah, I know the Lord's voice, and I follow the Lord, and I go to church. There's a lot of people going to church. Do you know the Lord's voice outside of church? Out of all the voices we hear, it's important that we follow and listen to the Lord. That's the saying, your actions speak louder than words. What's that essentially saying is you can say something on and on and on and on again, but it's not until you actually do it that it means something. It speaks louder. Could stand.